Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family. If you're new and exploring the Beloved Steady Church family, hey, or maybe you are new to exploring faith and spirituality, welcome. We truly believe that you can belong here before you believe and are glad you are here with us today, whether you're online, YouTube, or on the podcast. Thank you for being with us. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about growing a thriving and life-giving church where you and your family can flourish spiritually and relationally. We stole this from one of our friends at church, at home church in Red Deer, yet we truly agree that everyone needs Jesus and everybody needs a home. But that you can belong before you believe, it's a great place to be. You can both meaningfully receive and valuably contribute as a member of this spiritual family while you continue your journey of hope and healing, just like every one of us. It's beautiful. We exist as a church to lead people to know Jesus intimately, to grow in freedom from those things that we experience that just don't bring life to the fullest, right? And when we exist to lead people in discovering their God-given purposes on this earth, and to invite and to bring people to come alongside us, come on friends, as we learn and practice what it means to make a difference in our circles of influence in our city. So if you open your Bibles, smartphones, pull out your notebooks, I believe God wants to teach us today. Holy Spirit, soften our hearts to receive the seeds of the Word of God that you want to plant in our hearts. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See, the generation that we are currently living out loud is truly a generation that has been called and positioned by God to bring the good news to Jesus to every corner of creation. I truly believe this. We are a church on mission with Jesus. Together, we are positioned and empowered to make a difference. Yet we also recognize that this generation is a generation that is having to navigate really significant challenges that previous generations may not have had to do. We just went through 2 years of a global pandemic and have been more recently navigating all the craziness of a post-COVID world, and yet still kind of part of a COVID world still, right? You and I, friends, are having to navigate all the challenges of the internet age, where everything you say and do can end up on the internet or memed and insta-posted, tweeted, and there's not really any way to get rid of it after it's up there or out there, right? We're having to navigate what it means to be a follower of Jesus in a world where every bad idea under the sun is available and encouraged at your fingertips. Yet, what we believe, without a shadow of a doubt, friends, is that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you and I. And that is why we are so passionate about and committed to doing everything we can to lead people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. This is our mission. This is what we're doing. These steps, we call them, these marks of discipleship, are intentional to helping you and I understand just how good God is and how meaningful and significant the life that you've been called to live is. But like I mentioned, there are a lot of challenges that you're going to have to navigate, right? Any part of our lives where we are going through a transition is challenging, and that's what we've gone through so much transition in the last couple of years, even as a church. And some of you have families who are experiencing back-to-school rhythms and new schools and teachers, or kids going from high school into university or college or getting jobs. Some of you are navigating a recent diagnosis and experiencing symptoms and diet changes, and it's challenging, and medical interventions, right? Some of you are you're new to doing life without substance and navigating what it means to experience emotions again and the psychological and physiological changes that your body is experiencing. Maybe it's been relationship changes, you're going through transition, changes in your spiritual disciplines, navigating the transition from being a kid to becoming an adult. Whatever it is that we're going through challenges and transitions. And it's all about trying to figure out, like, what does this mean and where do I go from here and where do I turn? Whatever it is, every one of us is navigating transition and challenged by it in some way. Healthy things grow and growing things change. We know that, right? If you don't like change, life will be very uncomfortable for us, as transition can be very challenging for most, and it must be expected. We will face challenges and changes. And yet, as you're navigating this time of transition and change, there's going to be three really big questions that you will be searching out the answers for. No matter where you are, friends, on the spectrum of life change and transition, or where you are on your spiritual formation, young to old, or believer in Jesus, or new to Jesus, or exploring Jesus for the first time, or at your first job, or retiring even, single or married, all kinds of things, right? The three big questions that every one of us will be asking are, who am I? Where do I belong? And what difference do I make? Who am I? Where do I belong? And what difference do I make? And friends, it doesn't just stop at, you know, transitioning high school to into jobs and careers. You'll face this, these three questions periodically throughout your entire life. Those are the three questions that, to be honest with you, all human beings are wrestling with at some level or another. Why? Because all of us want to know who we are, our identity, right? We want to know who our people are, where we find belonging. Mm-hmm. And we want to know what our purpose is. What difference do I make? And until we can find those things, we will consistently find ourselves feeling restless and confused and maybe a little insecure, anxious, sometimes even hopeless and despairing and a bit lost. I remember, especially in my senior junior high years to early high school years, not having a real clear understanding of who I really was or really am, or of the place that I really belonged and the purposes that I had been created for. When I was in my later junior high school years, my parents were going through a really difficult time. My brother abandoned his faith and practices. My friends were dropping like flies around me, deconstructing their faith with God, experimenting with substances. I felt alone and had a limited amount of healthy peers. Only two girls in my church. Who was I going to even date? Was there even hope for me to marry someone? What do I want to do for a career? And here I am trying to figure out how to navigate all of the craziness. And while I'm also trying to navigate my hormones, right, as a young teenager, having a healthy sense of identity, belonging, and purpose. It was a time filled with uncertainty, and it wouldn't be the last time. I had no idea what to do or where to begin, and I was missing so many of my people, my friends. And it was during this time where I watched many others who were so frustrated with the difficulties of these challenges, who were giving up on God and on His church and faithing altogether, who were literally trying anything they could to figure out how to define themselves outside of Christ's identity, pursuing sexual passions and overcome with lust, engaging with and abusing themselves with substances, spending money without regard for their future, navigating their lives, their studies, their relationships, often angry and frustrated, right? Without a healthy community to belong to and find encouragement in, without a relationship, an ongoing relationship with Jesus, alone, with no greater sense of purpose, constantly looking for the next thing to satisfy the deep longing within oneself, constantly looking for something to add meaning and significance to life. And it was during that time of my life, friends, where I had a decision to make. And I remember choosing to lean into Jesus. And I began to surround myself with older and younger like-minded people who were seeking the way of Jesus, who genuinely loved me and who were serious about pursuing God with every part of who they were. And that changed things for me. I truly felt welcomed and accepted and began to feel like I belonged to something bigger than myself, who I was. And I felt like I had a place to belong. And there were people who cared about me, my life. And what was so significant in this time of my life was choosing to pursue Jesus instead of what my peers were choosing. I encountered and experienced the radical grace and love of Jesus, and it changed everything. My destiny was different. My passions and loves were reordered, were reorganized. My joy was different. I was experiencing a different joy. My commitments were different. And that was 20 plus years ago, friends. And yet for the last 20 plus years, I know I have not been perfect, not even close, friends. But I do know I made a commitment to God. God, I give my whole life to you, my passions, my rhythms, my desires, even my motivations. Jesus, I ask you to lead me and guide me to do what you desire in me and through me. Jesus, my whole life, I give it to you. I've chosen to commit my life to doing whatever I can to help as many people as possible to experience the same goodness of God and to discover that it is through the good news of Jesus and being an integral part of His body, His church, is where we find the answers to those questions of who we really are, of where we really belong, and the purpose and calling that we have been created for. It's through the truth of Jesus that those answers are found in ways that are good and true, rather than empty and meaningless. And so if you're new to exploring faith and spirituality, my hope and my prayer for you in this is that you would grow a little bit more curious about this movement of Christianity that started 2,000 plus years ago and is continuing to build and grow and strengthen His people throughout the ages and across the planet who have come into contact with the risen Savior Jesus, and that has changed everything for them. And for those of you who have been hanging around the church and have encountered Jesus and or are still learning how to lean into and practicing the way of Jesus in how you live and serve and give and love, you too have questions that are similar in many ways. And my prayer for you is that you will mature in your faithing, in your commitment, that you will grow up in your commitment, grow up into Christ, in your willingness to be comfortable with the uncomfortable, so that you can and I can live more faithfully as a Jesus follower. I've said this before, and I'm still learning how to live this out as a pastor and an apostolic-minded church leader. My job is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And so here's what I'm not going to try to do. I'm not going to try to answer every question you might have about Jesus, God, or the Bible, because realistically, I just can't do that. I'm not even going to try to get you to agree with me about everything that I personally believe. I will not push, pull, or plead to convince you. That's not the goal. That's not the way I lead. My goal is simply this, to do the best that I can do, to model what following Jesus could and should look like. My goal is to do the best that I can to introduce you to just how beautiful and compelling Jesus is and how wonderful the life that he's invited us into can be. And so to do that over the next 8 weeks, including today, in this new series, Beautiful People, we're going to be exploring the words of Jesus as we walk through one of his most famous sets of teachings titled The Sermon on the Mount, where it's legitimately three straight chapters that just may knock you off balance, right? That will challenge your commitment, that will confront your assumptions and reshape your understanding of what it means to be a human living faithfully as a devoted follower of Jesus. Three chapters where Jesus is laying out his vision for what life in the kingdom of God is supposed to look like. And he casts this beautiful and compelling vision for a life that is radically different than the host culture, than what so many of us here have been shown or introduced to or even modeled. Mm-hmm. It's a life defined by goodness, grace, and mercy. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to allow the words of Jesus to be our guide. And we're going to follow his words, his wisdom, and his example so that we can discover the truth of who we really are, the place that we really belong, and the purpose that God has created each and every one of us for. Now, in this first week, I'm going to give you an overview of where we're going for the rest of the series by actually starting in the chapter that precedes the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So we're going to start off in Matthew 4 with the announcement of Jesus's mission, right? So just to give you a little bit of context, we're going to be reading from the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew was one of Jesus' earliest disciples, one of his followers who, after Jesus's life and after his death and after his resurrection, Matthew wanted to record the things that Jesus said, the things that Jesus did, so that the later generations, people like you and me, could read the story of Jesus and also be transformed by everything he said and he did. So let's pick up on the story in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, where we're told that from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." So here we are, picking up on Jesus' announcement of his ministry. Now, right before this, Jesus had just been baptized by his cousin John. He had then been led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus resisted every single temptation. And then Jesus withdrew into Galilee in order to fulfill the prophecies that were written about him until the time had come for him to announce his mission and his message to the world. And the way that he announced it was by preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, what is interesting is this. Sometimes when we read this, we read things into it but are different than what Jesus actually said, right? So I believe it is best to break this down for us in a concise way. Jesus starts by saying, "Repent." Now, what does that mean? To repent means to change the traveled direction of your self-life and turn to God to follow his will, his teaching, and his direction for your life. Then he says, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." The kingdom of heaven. Now, imagine, the kingdom of heaven is the realm where God rules and reigns. What is a kingdom, right? A kingdom is a people group ruled and led by a king. So what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom where God rules and reigns and leads, and then he says, has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And I think that's where we often start to miss it, because here's what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say repent so that you can go to heaven someday. He said repent for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent because the kingdom of God is coming here. It's not about us going somewhere, going there, but it's actually about the rule and reign of God taking root here and now in our lives, in our circles of influence, right? It's not just some wish list that wills something good to happen in the future. In this announcement that in Jesus, God's kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom is coming in Jesus. That's what's happening. This is why the gospel is called good news. Because the kingdom of God is a place where goodness and justice reign. And we're told in the book of Psalms, the books of song and poetry actually, that God's throne is built on foundations of righteousness and justice. And that love and faithfulness go before him. So what Jesus is announcing, friends, is that there's a new king in town and a better kingdom way that is coming to town and everybody is welcomed in. And for Jesus, his first hearers of this announcement, for his first disciples, this would have been radical to them, right? Because for Jesus to say the kingdom of heaven has come near, what he's claiming is that the real king of the world is God. And in this time period of the writing, that Caesar Augustus is merely the emperor of Rome or Caesar. What Jesus is saying is, hey, I know that you've grown up in and all you've ever known is Roman rule and occupation, oppression of the Hebrew people, the ancient people of God, by the Roman Empire at that time, who had invaded their lands and conquered their ancestors. But he says, but the time has come for the God of heaven, the God of your ancestors, to arrive on earth. And it has come and is drawing near. And he's bringing with him a new way of being, a new way of living, a whole new order into the picture. And you and I, friends, have been invited in. You see, God is a God of order. God has always been in the business of bringing order to chaos, even since the beginning of time, since creation. He ordered the chaos and created the heavens and the earth. And he gave us the same job, not to create the heavens and the earth, but to bring order to chaos in our lives and the lives of others in our world, to subdue the earth, right? Called us into stewardship. It's a kingdom job to order and to agency. Now, the kingdom of heaven is a place where the least and the last and the lost are prioritized. Whereas in the kingdoms of this world, in our host culture, the things that we really care about are me, myself, and I. The kingdom of heaven is a place where when other people do things wrongly, we don't cancel them, we actually forgive them. The kingdom of heaven is a place where because of the goodness and grace of Jesus, we can live with nothing to hide, nothing to prove, and nothing to lose. Oh, it's beautiful. The kingdom of heaven is a place where God's rule and reign is at hand in and through us with the Holy Spirit. It's visible, it's tangible, and it has been made available to all of us through the person of Jesus and the invitation that he's extended. It's so beautiful. And so what we're going to do over the course of the next several weeks is we're going to explore Jesus's vision for what life as beautiful people in this kingdom of heaven here and now is supposed to look like. And like I said earlier, today is going to be an overview of that. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you three big ideas that define what it means to live as beautiful people. That's our series title. In our world today, beautiful people today, bringing a taste of heaven to our earth, in our circles of influence. But before we do that, I want to read a little bit more about this portion of scripture where Jesus, after making this announcement in verse 17, so let's go to verse 18 of Matthew 4. We're told this happens. Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and as he was, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen, right? And here's what Jesus says in verse 19, come and follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Then in verse 21, going on from there, Jesus sees two other brothers, James and the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father preparing the nets. And Jesus called them and immediately left. They left their boat, they left their nets, and they left their father, and they followed Jesus. What does this mean to be beautiful people, friends? A people of this kingdom of heaven here and now. The first thing that we've got to understand is that when we accept the invitation that Jesus offers to us to be a part of the kingdom of God that is taking root in history today still, is that we become a people who are led by Jesus. We become a people who are led by Jesus. We are exploring what it means to be beautiful people. And the first one is we're a people led by Jesus. I love what theologian Scott McKnight says when he says this. He says, hey, those who are not following Jesus, aren't his followers. It's that simple. Followers follow, right? And those who don't aren't followers. To follow Jesus means to follow Jesus into a culture and society, into a kingdom where justice rules, where love shapes everything. To follow Jesus means to take up his dream and his work and to work for it, right? You see, when this announcement that Jesus gave would have been heard by his followers, his first followers, they would have known that what Jesus was saying is there's a new king in town. That no longer does Caesar decide what's good and what's right. Now it's God. And so as we're doing the best we can to follow Jesus in our daily rhythms, and what we have to remember is that following Jesus means following Jesus. What Jesus did is what we actually do. The way Jesus lived and the rhythms, his passions, what he was called to do is actually how we live. We follow Jesus. If you've ever played the game, Follow the Leader, right? When you're a kid and you know that whoever's at the front of the line is the leader, you know, playing snake or whatever it is. And everyone else behind that person has to do and say the things that the leader does. And I think sometimes we can get confused because we can sort of think that just whoever's like one step or two steps or three steps in front of us is the actual leader. Those cool people maybe, right? Or whatever, that we're supposed to mimic those people. But friends, we can never lose sight that at the front of the line, it has to be Jesus. Because if it's not Jesus, then we aren't actually living as the beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven who are following Jesus. And so just to make it super crystal clear, I am not at the front of the line, friends. Your favorite YouTube preacher is not at the front. Your favorite Christian celebrity or socials influencer is not at the front of the line. Your city group leader is not at the front of the line. This Jesus is, friends, and everything we do is supposed to reflect the Jesus that we are following. It's a mirror, right? All of my rhythms, patterns, desires, motivations, passions, in my sexuality, in my relationships, in my decisions, in the way that I steward my resources, my time and finances. You and I, as we are navigating our life, yes, look to these people who are around you, of course, that are a few steps in front of you as an example to follow, learn from them, yes. But at the end of the day, friends, the person you are following isn't me or them, it is Jesus. Because guess what? We all will fall short. Me, I will mess up too. Others will let you down, but Jesus never will. And when you choose to truly follow Jesus, here's what I can tell you, is that he is faithful to lead you to what is good and what is true. He will lead you to live the life that is truly life-giving. He will lead you out of captivity and into freedom, because that is who Jesus is. So how do we live as beautiful people, friends? First, we have to remember that we are a people who are led by Jesus. The second thing is that we are people shaped by grace. We are people shaped by grace. What is grace? Grace is this unearned and unmerited favor of God. It is the gift that we didn't earn, and it keeps given, and we do not deserve it. Dallas Willard, one of my favorite theologians and authors, says that the most important thing is not what you do, but who you become, because that's what you take with you into eternity. And this is why we talk all the time about the heart of this journey of following Jesus. It's about becoming more like Jesus for the sake of others. See, it's not just about you. It's a little bit about you and a whole lot about everybody else around you. It's about becoming more like Jesus for the sake of others. Because that's what discipleship to Jesus is, right? Following Jesus should lead us to become more like Jesus. Why? Because his grace is transforming us from the inside out, meaning our language and our behaviors, our attitudes, our actions, our decisions are actually reflecting the heartbeat of Jesus. And that's what's so beautiful about the story that we're reading, where Jesus shows up to these fishermen and he says, come and follow me. And here's what Jesus didn't do. He didn't go to the synagogues, friends, or to the or the schools or another church down the road where the best and brightest students were learning and studying. He showed up and found these fishermen, these people who were honestly weren't a big deal in their society. And he says, I'm calling you to be my followers. It's kind of like if Jesus were to show up today, instead of going to like UBC's or Harvard's graduation, he would go to the McDonald's and Walmart parking lot, right? Like he's finding the people that everybody else assumes don't have something to offer. And Jesus is saying, I see something in you and I want you to be my follower. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to challenge you or change you from the inside out by the power of my grace so that you can partner with me in extending this movement that I'm launching to every corner of creation. Imagine if Jesus could change the world with 12 disciples, 12 uneducated followers, fishermen, a bunch of whom were fishing for the last however long. What could Jesus do with you? What does it mean to for you and I to live as beautiful people, as part of the kingdom of heaven here and now, who are following, who are led by Jesus and shaped by grace? So the first thing as beautiful people is we're led by Jesus. The second thing is that we are people shaped by grace. And the third thing, friends, is we are people moved by love. We are people moved by love. That's what it means to be a beautiful people in the kingdom of heaven here and now. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once famously said, only love gets close enough to know. And in verse 23 of Matthew 4, where Jesus was engaged in being close enough to know, Jesus is traveling throughout Galilee. He's teaching in the synagogues. He's proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and he's healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases and those suffering from severe pain, demon-possessed, and those having seizures and paralyzed, and Jesus healed them. See, only love gets close enough to know. It can be simpler to preach the truth from a distance, friends. It's really easy to preach the truth on social media or on stage, but often it's really hard to practice love up close, because it's when we get close to people, we realize just how messy life is. You realize how much work it really is to carry the burdens of other people. But as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, who are pieces and parts of the kingdom of heaven here and now, who are led by Jesus and shaped by grace, and we are called to get close to those whose lives look a little bit messy, because it's in the mess that Jesus does the miraculous. What we see in Matthew's gospel account is that Jesus went to the people who were sick, demon-possessed, who were crippled, and Jesus healed them, because Jesus was never afraid to get his hands dirty. He was always willing to get close to the people whose lives were a mess. Thank you, Jesus, for getting close to my life, which was a mess. Oh man, so good. Now, I believe that there are probably people in the room who are listening right now online who are going through a really dark time, and you're desperate for a place to belong, desperate for a true sense of who you are in Christ, desperate to understand and to know that God can even love you. And so with that being said, would you pray with me in closing? Jesus, first, I just want to thank you so much for everything that you've done in our lives and for the people that you've put in our life to get us to where we are today, to be able to use story and share in such a positive, impacting way today. Father, we thank you for being such a good, good Father, a Father that leads us, always leads us, and never leaves us. Father, I pray that everyone watching in person, here today, online, YouTube, wherever we are, that we are people that are led by Jesus, or we are following, returning from our self-life to follow you, and that we would be shaped by grace, and that we would be moved by love. And Father, I pray that everybody knows that no matter what they're going through in this moment, that you would just plant that seed in their mind, that there'd be an opening and an awakening of their spirit, man. That we are people that are led by you, Lord, and shaped by your grace and moved by your love. And no matter what you're going through or what we're going through, Father, no matter what they've been through, the friends who are online today, or no matter where they're at right now, that you are their Father. And you've always been there with them and for them. That you love us, and you were never going to leave us, and you never will forsake us. Father, we love you so much. And we come to you as we are right here and right now with open hearts, open minds. And we want to trust you and are trusting you for your leadership in our lives. From this day forward, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hey, friends, if you just prayed that prayer with me today and you'd like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, or recommit your life to following Jesus, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you'd like to take your next step in following Jesus and publicly declare that decision that you are following him by being baptized as Jesus commanded, he who believes on me and is baptized shall be saved. Let us know. We would love to walk it out with you. At Beloved City Church, friends, we are so passionate about what God has called us to do to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, is practicing following the way of Jesus, making an impact both in us and the world around us. Will you take a step to partner with us at Beloved? Help us grow the day-to-day ministries here at Beloved City Church. Join our big table. Here's a couple of ways. Join our big table family. Make it official. Sign up for our next family discovery night. Discover what it means to be a family member here of this local church. Second one, join the grow team. Friends, come on in. Help serve one another. Work alongside a team here at Beloved. And let's make an impact together as we continue to practice living, giving, serving, and loving like Jesus. And last but not least, friends, will you respond today as an act of worship to God with your finances by giving financially at Beloved City Church? Help us grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city. Amen. See you at your city groups over this week. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in such a special way. Amen.